Next up, we go on the run with children's author Tristan Banks. Well, Ben Silver is 13 years old and he fancies himself as a bit of a detective. But his first serious case is more personal than he could ever have imagined. One afternoon, his parents suddenly arrive home. They bundle Ben and his sister Olive into the family car and they drive off. And they seem to be in a panic. In fact, they seem to be on the run from the police. And Ben is determined to work out what's happening. That's the setup for a pacey adventure story called Two Wolves. It's by Tristan Banks. Now, Tristan first drew attention to himself in the early 90s as an actor in the Aussie soap opera Home and Away. These days, he's a full-time writer for kids and teens. Parents might know his McSlater Cool Hunter series, or It's Your Life with Tempany Deckett, or maybe My Life and Other Stuff I Made Up. Tristan, good morning.
Good morning.
He just made it.
I did.
We were going to start the show with you, but when the show started, you weren't sitting there.
Well, the kid's on the run in the story, so I thought it might be nice if I kind of skidded into the studio in a kind of fast-paced way.
It was dramatic. You were coming up the lift. I could see you in the lift as the theme was playing. I thought, he's not going to make it. He's going to be out of breath. So there's lots of suspense in this. So this is about for grades, what, five or six? Is that where we're...
Yeah, five and up. Probably five up to grade 8 or 9,
okay.
I think.
So Ben is about 13 and he's a chubby kid. Tell us about him.
He evolved. I tend to start off with characters who feel paper thin in the first draft, and I know the what if. I know the story that they're engaged in. What if a kid was sort of kidnapped by his own parents and taken out on the run? What if your parents did something wrong, committed a crime? Where would that put you? And then the character evolves over time. And I think the process of writing for me, the sort of 7, 8, 9 drafts of writing the book, was a process of pouring myself into the character in many ways, and finding myself in this story.
Oh, imagining yourself as little Ben in the back seat with pesky Olive, the sister.
Pesky Olive, the sister.
And wondering why Dad was driving like a maniac.
Yeah.
And starting to take notes.
Absolutely, and I guess the brown leather notebook that Ben takes notes on in the book, that was actually the brown leather notebook that I wrote the first draft in.
Look at what you've got beside you on the table there.
My notebook,
It's yes. A little notebook.
It is. I'm constantly, that's how I make sense of the world, by jotting notes. And
as I was introducing you, you were sitting there writing things. I thought, come on, stop. What is this? You can't stop writing things down, this guy.
I think that's the thing with acting and filmmaking and all the things that I did prior to writing books. I was always writing in the background, and in the end I feel like I sort of took the path of least resistance and poured myself into the writing, myself write.
So stop performing other people's words and writing your own.
Yeah, and I think it was a matter of having enough faith to do that. I think a lot of people want to write, feel they can write, feel they've got a story, but do you take the leap and have enough trust that your stories are going to be interesting enough?
Mm. Now, there's a lot of suspense in this story. So these two kids, particularly Ben, is wondering why his parents are behaving so weird. And then they finally get to the location the parents are taking them to, and the boy finds a bag of money, which simply adds to his suspicions. And then he sort of, I don't want to give too much away, but he ends up sort of having to survive in the wilderness. Can we talk about that as a theme?
I loved this book called My Side of the Mountain when I was a kid by Jean Craighead George. And it was I think I had a coverless version, and it was in my room. I don't know where I got it from.
The famous coverless version.
Yeah, the coverless version, yes. But I would read it every now and then, or every couple of years I would come back to this book. It was about a kid who survives for a year in the wilderness. And then as an adult, I've discovered a Gary Paulsen book, Hatchet, that I love, about a kid who crashes in the Canadian wilderness and has to survive. And then I also love White Fang by Jack London.
White Fang? Who reads White Fang by Jack London?
It's great, and there's a really good audiobook version too.
There was a movie not so long ago of White Fang.
Oh, was there?
There was. Can't think who was in it.
Maybe
Ethan Hawke.
Yes, that rings a bell. I love these. I have no survival skills whatsoever outside of the kind of urban environment, but I love writing about that. I think if you write into your fear, I find that's a pretty powerful thing to write. I'm not comfortable being out in the wild. And so that fear, I think, can kind of be found in the writing, and I can write that character
now
genuinely.
There's fear of the wild, but there is a kind of sense that nature is a sort of healing power too in the book, isn't there?
Absolutely, yeah. And I found that while I was writing. I actually wrote a lot of the book outdoors. I live up near Byron Bay, and I would write on the beach, shoes off, or I'd write on a veranda with a bit of a breeze. And somehow that thing of being connected to nature helps you to climb down into yourself and write more truthfully.
Do you write on a computer outside?
A bit of both, yeah. I'd either write in my notebook that I do early in the morning. I'd sort of, this was my sort of 20% time. Do you know that Google concept of 20% time?
No.
Oh, they. If you work for Google, you get 4 days a week to work on your regular stuff, and 20% of your work time is allowed to work on some other project.
Oh, I saw a movie in an aeroplane that was all about this. That's right. Really? Yeah, your 20% time, yep.
So this was, I'd wake up at between 6 and 7 a.m. This was my project I was writing on the side in my notebook, and eventually over the space of 5 years, it slowly came to the forefront, and I started writing it during the day too. But it was my, while I wrote other things, I was sort of sneakily writing this and holding it back from the publishing process.
In the background.
Mm.
So this is an important book for you. I mean, all books are important, but there's a little bit of extra investment in this one, is there?
Yeah, more so than anything I've written, I think. I actually enjoyed the whole process of writing it too, whereas I feel like when you have a deadline, it's great because it motivates you, but you get to a certain point around that sort of third or fourth draft and you're in the wilderness and you know you've got to have the thing ready in a few months' time, and you're perhaps forced to make decisions that you wouldn't naturally make for the good of the story or that the character wouldn't make. And I feel like when you leave 5 years to write a book, you can write more authentic choices for the character.
Well, it's a pacey book, but you've allowed time for reflection.
Yeah, and I think that was the challenge. When I first started writing for children, I heard someone said, never be boring. That's what you've got to follow. Never be boring when you're writing for kids. And I almost took that too literally. I think I would write page-turning reads where this happens, then this happens, then. And actually on this one, I sort of trusted in my ability to make readers turn pages and invested in the characters a bit more. So hopefully got a good balance of the two.
Well, it's interesting because it's written in the third person. It's a story in which there are characters and there's a god narrator, but it feels actually as though it's Ben's story, as though he's really the storyteller, which is that's not an unusual trick for a novelist to do, or an unusual technique for a novelist to do, but you've done it extremely well. He's quite introspective, and Ben's quite concerned with this question of what we mean by me. Can you talk to me about that?
That's something that I used to do when I was a kid. For some reason, when I was from the age of 8 or 9 or so, I would have these sort of I'm me sessions where I'd say, just in my head, this thing, I'm me, would come in, and I'd think, well, what is me? Who is me? What is it? I don't even know who me is. And the more I'd think about it, the more I wouldn't understand the difference between somebody else and myself. And I would turn myself into these sort of philosophical kind of pretzels trying to work it out. But I found that for the character. He's trying to discover who he is. And I think I'm still trying to work out who me is. And it disappears. The more you try to capture that sense of me, the further you get away from it, like trying to remember a dream, I think.
Yeah, there are kids who are philosophical. I mean, I think I was that kind of kid too, who were very philosophically inclined very early on, before you know what philosophy is.
Exactly. You don't know that it's philosophy, but on reflection, you realise it was.
I remember I used to be a school teacher. This is years ago. I was teaching a class, and I decided I'd teach a group of year sevens about René Descartes, and I think therefore I am. I thought, that's a challenge. Let's see if we can get them to understand that. So I say to them, okay, well, René Descartes wakes up one day and he thinks, I wonder what's true. I wonder whether, you know, the way what we think is real is really a dream, and we're about to wake up. Because you don't really know what the world's like. Have you ever thought, I said to the kids, that the way you see blue might be the way I see blue, that you have a different kind of colour on the sky? And if I could have your eyes, you would say, hey, your sky's green. Have you ever thought about that? And this kid puts up his hand and he says, I know all about this because I used to have a turned eye and I saw two of everything.
Ah.
And then I had this operation. And after the operation, I saw one of everything. And I said to him, and when you had the operation, you saw one of everything, did you think, oh, that's right, that's the way the world's supposed to be? And the kid said, no, not really. I just thought it was different. And I said to him, but there's only one object out there. He said, yeah, but you've got two eyes.
That's very wise.
It's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. I thought, that's such a philosophical thing for a kid in year seven to say.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a sort of a Buddhist motorcycle riding engineer living across the street from me when I was writing the book, and he was I would have these kind of conversations with him, and he would ask me, you know, is a table really a table? You know, what is a table to a dog or an ant, or, you know, and get me thinking along these lines too. And I think that spurred on some of the philosophical questions that come up for Ben.
Mm. People who don't think like this just think it's irritating. Of course it's a table.
Yes.
Put your dinner on and eat it. Now, can I talk about the spelling of your name? I'm talking to Tristan Banks here about his new novel, which is for kids. It's called Two Wolves, and it's very exciting. I read it yesterday and enjoyed it hugely. So Banks is B-A-N-C-K-S. Now, I've only ever seen it spelled that way once before, which is Jimmy Banks, who's the cartoonist who created Ginger Meggs. Are you related to him?
He's my great-great-uncle.
Great-great-uncle.
Great-great-uncle. So my grandfather's uncle, I guess. And okay. My grandfather was Jim Banks, and I'm Tristan Jim Banks, and that Jim is sort of a bit of a family name.
So I looked him up because I knew I was going to ask you this. So he died in 1952.
He did.
And you were born in 1974, so you obviously didn't meet him. Is there any sort of family connection apart from the name? Do you feel a sort of creative link? Because you're both dealing with children in some way.
Yeah, my grandmother had a couple of his original artworks up on her wall, Ginger Meg's artworks on her wall when I was a kid. And they're still in the family, actually. She passed away, but they're still around. And I would get inspired. He was the only person that I knew with an exciting job, something that I would want to do. And I tried drawing my own comic strips, and I was terrible. I realised that drawing wasn't my strong suit, but words always have been.
Right.
My grandmother would play word games with me endlessly, and I've always been in love with words.
Now, as we wind up, there is something else I want to ask you. Later on in the show this morning, we're going to review the new fictional autobiography by the Norwegian writer Carl Ove Knausgård. And I noticed that one of your books is called My Life and Other Stuff I Made Up.
Hmm.
What's that about?
It's a book of stories from my childhood exaggerated. So there was a story of when I had my appendix removed in order to avoid detention with my school librarian.
Oh, the way you do. You really did this.
That really happened. But then in the book, it becomes quite weird and gross in some ways.
You know, it's pretty weird and gross to start with. You do get that, don't you?
Yeah. I tell kids that story and they seem quite interested in. And then I think it just gets too weird for them in the book too.
Yeah. How interesting. Well, we'll have to stop, even though it's just getting weird and interesting. Thank you for coming by, Tristan.
No problem.
I'm glad you got your breath back.
Thank you very much.
And leave plenty of time if you're going anywhere else today, because I wouldn't like you to be late for any other meetings.
Thank you very much.
Tristan Banks. His new book is called Two Wolves. It's for kids aged 10 and upwards. And I really enjoyed it. I thought it was terrific. It's published by Random House. Across Australia, this is RN. You're listening to Books and Arts Daily.